Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy. Welcome once again. If you're just joining us, welcome to Flood Lilongwe. I've seen some guys from Blantyre. Welcome, Flood Blantyre. We love you guys and always appreciate what God is doing through you guys out there in Blantyre. And if you're new, welcome as well. We're going to jump into the word because I was just mentioning before we started that we might just make this a little bit quicker just because today is a big day for Malawi. Thank God, you know, the elections have happened and, you know, it's been very peaceful and we thank God for that. But also today, a new president is being sworn in. So I know most guys from our community are actually paying attention to that. So I will try to be quick, you know, in case you want to be a part of that. But just quickly, a few things. If you want to know how to give to our church, you can visit our website, floodchurch.com/give, and you have options there of how you could give. You could give through Airtel Money or Mpamba or through a PayPal account or bank-to-bank transfers. But also, if you want to know what kids content that we have, first of all, you can send us an email, admin@floodchurch.com, and we're going to respond to you guys. There's a kids packs that we have that we're giving to parents, so you could be a part of that. But also, you know, you could find these videos that we put out every week. If you go to our website, floodchurch.com/online, but also you can just search up on this Facebook page and you will find a video for the kids resource. So yeah, we hope you guys could plug in. Today, I'll be reading from 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7, a very famous and a beautiful story. So if you can follow that, that'll be great. So this is what the Bible says. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil onto all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." That's the word of God this morning. That is from 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. It's such a beautiful and amazing story. And I just wanted to look at this story from kind of like two angles. First of all, when we encounter people that have an overwhelming need, how do we respond to them? But also the second part is when we ourselves have an overwhelming need, how do we bring that to God and how do we respond? And I'll just look through that. So yeah, I'll be a bit quick, but you know what? If something jumps up for you, engage, yeah, you can let me know, because it's always a tricky part when we have to help someone else, isn't it? But I don't know if you have ever been in a space or in a position where you wonder, will God rescue me? You know, will this situation end? Where is my help? Where you feel so desperate that you cannot see light at the end of the tunnel. And this is what's happening in this story with this woman. And actually, this story just reminded me this week, a lady texted me from Malawi and she said, "You know what? What can I do so I can meet up with you?" Now, I know what that question meant because she's probably thinking I'm a prophet who has to like arrange, so I have to make some sort of arrangement for her to meet me, maybe pay me. I don't know, whatever it is. But anyway, I say, "You know what? You've reached me. Let's hear what it is." And she said, you know what, my husband left me, and I have a daughter, and I cannot feed my daughter. In fact, I've been suicidal, and in fact, I cannot actually feed my daughter to the point that I had to give my daughter to someone else, to stay with someone else so they can feed her, and I can see what to do. A very, very sad story. And it reminded me that I don't know what are the odds why it came during this time. But also I knew the other part was for God to invite us so that we could be a help to her. But how do you respond when people come with an overwhelming need to you? How do you respond? And just looking at the way Elisha responded, first of all, Elisha chose compassion over correctness. He chose compassion over correctness. And you know, this woman comes to Elisha and she says to Elisha, you know what, my husband, whom you actually knew, was one of your students. You know, he took a debt and, you know, he's no longer with us. But he, you know, the creditors are now coming to want to take my two sons, and I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose, my family, my whole family is going to go. And how does Elisha respond? Elisha does not say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not the guy to talk to. You should go probably to the authorities. You should go to somebody else in a higher place so that they can help you. He doesn't even say, hey, I'm a man of God, so don't involve me with that. He doesn't even say, oh, by the way, it looks like your husband made some bad financial decisions, so that's not my thing. That's your thing. He doesn't remove himself from it. But he chose to respond with compassion over saying the right things. So he says, and he draws near and he says, how can I help? That is compassion. How can I help? Because compassion will drive you closer to the people, but your desire to be correct will drive you away from the people. Because how can I help? It's choosing compassion, and compassion is uniting. But when you choose to just be correct and to just say the right things when people are going through a rough time, it's going to drive people away from you. So Elisha says, how can I help? Because that question is not just a simple question. This question is full of compassion, but more so it will draw him in. It's going to draw him in. He's never going to get out of this situation. How can I help? It means I'm going to get involved in this. I'm not going to let myself be outside this problem. I actually want to come and sit with you. I want to be with you. So it means when we show compassion, it means it's going to require humility on our part. Because for Elisha now, it means he will have to listen. Often it happens that, when we want to say the right stuff and not show compassion, what's going to happen is that when people come to us with what they're struggling with and with their needs, we're going to have our answers already formed in our heads. And we're going to say, you know what, this is what you need to do. This is what you need. But that's not the way to go. Elijah says, how can I help? Because compassion will require us to be humble so that we can hear the answers that the people will give us. And we have to sit there and say, tell me how I can help. So they will give us. But also compassion will require us to mourn, you know, that we're going to mourn the need. We're going to mourn the pain of what people are saying. Because when you want to just say the right things and want to just be correct, you're never going to get involved. You're never going to mourn. And you will not pay attention to the pain that people are going through. So check your heart when somebody with a genuine need comes in, and that your wishes or what you want to do, your action is to want to fix it and want to be like, okay, you know what? This is what could have done. Could have been done better. And you did not do this right. That's why you are here. But let's choose compassion. So when people come to you with an overwhelming need, choose compassion over being correct. And this reminds me of the story of Job. Job suffered a great deal, and his friends, the best thing that his friends did was for the first week, 7 days, they sat with him in his pain without saying anything. For 7 days, they never said a word for 7 days. That's the best thing that Job's friends did. But after that, everything went south because now they started wanting to be saying the right things. They wanted to be correct. What if God is punishing you? What if you sinned before God? What if this? They wanted to be saying the right things. They wanted to be correct. And they left compassion behind and everything went south. So we have to choose compassion when people come with with an overwhelming need. And we could do that, but when we ask the question, how can I help? And the good thing with this question is that this question does two things. Number one, it raises our awareness of the graces that God has provided, or it raises the awareness in the people we are trying to help of the graces that God has provided for them. How he does it is that he says, how can I help? But then he asks the second question, which says, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? And what Elisha is doing is he is warning for her to be aware of the graces that God has given her already. So first of all, she responds and says, you know what? I have nothing there except for just a small jar, which had oil. And I know we see the rest of the story of how God uses that. So Elisha says, you know, what do you have in your house? And, you know, you can ask the question, how can I help? But also, what do you have? And the good thing with asking this question is you are helping people to be aware of the things that God has provided for them. Because when you're going through a great need, it's so hard for you to see that God has given you other graces around you, that God has given you things that he can use in your own life to fulfill his purposes for you and in you. So he says, what do you have? And now she will have to be aware of what she has, in her house. And she had so many graces. You know, she had the graces of neighbors because she had to go and borrow jars from neighbors. So she had the grace of neighbors. She also had the grace of the prophet, you know, the man of God who was there, with her, somebody she could talk to. That's a grace. She had the grace of oil, you know, that she had the oil in her house. So that's a grace that God provided. She also had the grace of children. These children helped her, you know, carry jars and helped her fill up the jars and helped her with everything. So she had all these graces around her, and God used and put these things together to fulfill his purposes. So we can help people to see the graces that God has provided for them when we choose to show compassion when they're going through a rough time. So what do you have in your house is a fantastic question. The second part why this question is actually fantastic is because it raises our desire to be a part of what God is doing for us. Or in other words, the people that you are helping, when you say, what do you have for them, to them, it's going to raise their desire to be a part of something that God will do for them. Because in this story, we see this woman being an active participant in the blessing that God gave her. When you are in need, it's so hard to see yourself to be an active participant in the blessing that God will give. Because since you have a lot of lack, you have a lot of need, you don't see anything good coming out of you. You're just like, I'm nothing. I have nothing. There's no help at all that could come from me. But this question now is going to be like, wait a minute, God, there's something else that God can use that you have in your life, in your heart that you have, and he's going to use that. And he wants you to be an active participant in the blessing that God will give you. So she's going to be an active participant. How is she going to do this? She's going to have to go around asking for jars from neighbors. That's being an active participant. She's going to, call her sons to help her. That's being an active participant. But also one thing, if you didn't notice in the story, is that Elijah tells her what to do after the fact. So she went, collected all the jars, poured oil into the jars, and then she went to the man of God and said, hey, a miracle has happened. You know, that small oil, guess what? I filled up these jars. And Elisha says, okay, now you can go and sell it. So now it means that she will have to go and sell, stand on the side of the road. Some people will buy, some people will not. But she's being an active participant in the blessing that God is giving her. So we have to allow people to be a part of the blessing that God is giving them, an active participant of the blessing that God is giving them. So Elisha does ask two questions. How can I help? And what do you have? Sometimes your role can, in someone else's life who has need, can just be that God can use you to help them be aware of what they already have and that God is going to use what they already have. So yeah, quickly, the other part of this story is, how do we respond when we ourselves have an overwhelming need? And the thing that I could see from this passage is faith, is to trust, is to trust God, to trust that God can do for you more than what you can ever imagine. The miracle that we have seen here is just ridiculous, isn't it? It's just insane, absolutely crazy miracle that God has done. And therefore, believe that God will do for you beyond your imagination. Believe that God will do a miracle in your life. And when I say believe God, what I mean is that give God permission to decide what's good for you. Give God permission to control. Give God permission to decide what's important in your life. And this will invite you to take action, even though you do not have the evidence for it. Because that's what faith is. You know, faith is action even in the absence of evidence. That you don't have the evidence, but you're still going to act on it. So faith, so believe in God. And how do you believe in God? Quickly, just three things. Number one, be aware of your requests to God. Be aware of your requests to God. Elisha says to this woman, "How can I help?" You know what? This question now, it means she will raise an awareness in her that she has to be aware of what is really her request at this time. What is my request? Oh, this guy says, "How can I help?" Oh, it means I have to say what my requests are. You know, so what do I have to ask from God? And this reminds me Philippians 4 verse 6, you know, which talks about do not be anxious. But the end of it, he says, make your request known to God. And I've always seen that passage as to say, you know, God doesn't know my request, so I have to tell him what my requests are. And, you know, that could be one way that we look at it. But let's be real. God knows what our requests are even before we say them. But I think the big part of that is that God wants to make our own request known to us, because now you begin to do the hard work when you are saying, what is it that I really need from God? And then you're going to ask the second question, do I really need that from God? You know, what are my motives, you know, for me needing this or for me requesting this? So it helps you to do the hard work in your heart. Therefore, you're going to get to a point when you're going to realign your own request with God's will. So it helps you to do the hard work. So know your own request to God. What is it that you want God to do for you? Bring that before God. Make your request known to God. Number two, the way you can show faith for this is pray some daring prayers. Pray some daring prayers. When was the last time that you actually prayed, like literally a dangerous, like a daring prayer? You know, a prayer that says, God, if you don't rescue me out of this, I'm done. Like, I really need you to show up in here. So pray some daring prayers. And, you know, with that, because when you pray some daring prayers, what's going to happen is it's going to invite you to also do some daring actions. Because for this woman now, what meant is that, you know, after when she got out of the presence of the man of God, she goes into her house and she locks the door, goes behind. But before she did that, she had to go around, because she has made her request known, she had to go around asking for jars. That's a daring action, by the way. You know, she's going to encounter people that will say, oh yeah, you were looking for a jar. Why? Do you have those people in your life where they cannot give you their thing until they know what you're going to use it for? And now she was going to have to answer. Just imagine that encounter. You know, what do you think her answer was, you know, to that? And did she get some frowning eyes? You know, like, whoa, really? What's going on with that? You know, she'll have to do that. Or maybe some people will have to refuse. But she has to do some daring actions, because daring prayer will invite daring actions. So, you know, do you have a dangerous prayer that you have to pray to God? And I just want to invite you guys, what is it that you have in your life that you want God to do for you? And you know, if God does not catch me here, I'm done. You know, what is a daring action that you could do for God? Like to say, you know what, if God doesn't catch me here, I'm actually done. So pray some daring prayers, because that will invite you to do some daring actions. So we have to do that. Because that way, we're going to live a life of faith. We're going to live a life of faith, of trusting God, you know, giving God the permission to decide what's good for us. And lastly, give to God what you have so he can use it for his glory. Give to God what you have so he can use it for his glory. In this story, the thing that stands out is that God just uses what this woman had. Yeah, you know, and we see this story over and over again. We see it with Moses, that God does ask, what is it that you have in your hands? And sometimes what we need is what we already have. Sometimes it could be just that, you know, God is saying, you know, give to me that which you have so I can use it. Give it to me, bring it over so I can use it. You don't have to look outside you. Actually, it's already there, but invite me in so that I can use what you already have. So give to God what you have so he can use it. And what is it? And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening with you right now. But would you look around your situation and ask the question, you know, what is it that I need to give to God so he can use it? And I think with this is that it confronts, you know, two temptations for me. I think the first temptation is that, you know, it's to be tempted that we could do everything without God. It's say, you know, I could do it without God. I don't need God. That's the first temptation. The second temptation is that I have God, therefore I don't have to do anything. You know, I don't have to do anything at all. I have God, I'm sorted. But the third way, which is what we are seeing in this passage, is that you trust that God can do for you more than you could do for yourself. However, be an active participant in that blessing, in that which God will do. And often he invites us that we can surrender to God. This woman went and locked up her doors and prayed to God. And locked up her doors and just said, you know what, I'm here. God, whether you're going to do this thing or I'm done. Because her two sons were going to be taken away if this miracle you know, was not going to work. So she comes to God. And God shows a ridiculous miracle. And I believe that God can do some crazy miracles for us. But are we daring enough to allow him to come in? Can we invite God to come in into our lives so that he could do more than exceedingly abundant by what we can ever ask or even imagine? So what is it? What is your request to God? Can you bring that to God? What is your daring prayer? What is your daring prayer? What is your daring action? And what is it that you have to give to God so he could use it for his own glory? Let's pray. God, I thank you. I bless you, God, for you are good. Jesus, help me to have the faith that I could pray some daring prayers. Help me, God, to have the faith that I could take some daring actions, not just for the sake of taking a daring action, but trusting that you, God, are beautiful and amazing and are concerned about me, concerned about us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilongwe podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilongwe YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.